This is The Takeaway. I'm John Huckenberry. In his majority opinion striking down key provisions of the Voting Rights Act yesterday, Chief Justice John Roberts relied on his reading of history. History, he says, did not end in 1965, the year the Voting Rights Act was enacted. History since 1965, he says, cannot be ignored. Nearly 50 years later, things have changed dramatically, largely because of the Voting Rights Act, Roberts writes. Voter turnout and registration rates in covered jurisdictions now approach parity. Blatantly discriminatory evasions of federal decrees are rare, and minority candidates hold office at unprecedented levels. The Supreme Court often relies on social and historical data in making its judgments. In this case, Justice Roberts is saying 1965 has no bearing on the way people of different races interact politically today, and Congress needs to make a new formula. If Congress were to do that, what factors about today's more integrated or very differently segregated communities would it take into account? Dante Cheney, director of the American Communities Project, joins me now. Dante, welcome.
Hey, John.
So what would Congress look at if they wanted to update, as Roberts suggests, you know, history since 1965 in determining whether a district needs to consider preclearance, federal oversight for its voting practices?
Well, I think Roberts actually does strike on one thing that makes a lot of sense to me. I mean, I spent a lot of time looking at numbers, and that's he talked about in 65, the United States was broken into states that basically had this history of problems and states that didn't. And I do think he hits on something of a point when he talks about states, because there are real differences. Even if you look at the states covered under the Voting Rights Act now, you had Alabama, Mississippi, and Virginia. And Texas, these states are very, very different. Very different. I mean, Virginia has changed, you could say, remarkably since 65, and Alabama and Mississippi have changed, but less so. But I think bigger are the differences within those places. You really do have to go county by county to look at, or even maybe it's smaller, to look at what's going on. There, Shelby County, which they talked about in the rule, it's really what the case was about. Shelby County has changed dramatically in the last 10 years. I mean, its population has grown by a third. It's you know, it went from about 140,000 people to more than 200,000 people. It's gotten much more educated. It's gotten wealthier. You'd have to say, now, what that means for Shelby County in terms of whether there's discrimination there, I don't know that for certain. But I can say that, you know, the numbers do indicate it's a changed place. I mean, to me, the factors that would be key in coming up with something like this would be obviously looking at the racial breakdown of a place, but also looking at income, education, and this is actually really important, how much actually the population has grown or really shrank in the last 10, 20 years, because that's what really brings change.
So Dante, if Shelby County passes a certain test, what would be a formula where you could look at, say, somewhere in Ohio or someplace in Massachusetts or Missouri that might fail the test?
Right. And I think that's an important thing to keep in mind. I think the thing to do is you have to compare Shelby County to places that demographically, theoretically, are like Shelby County, right? And to see what voter participation is like in Shelby and what the rules are like in Shelby compared to counties that are similar to Shelby in other states and other regions in the country. I think that would be, to me, that would be an interesting way of looking at the differences and whether or not there needs to be something special for a place like Shelby County or some of these other jurisdictions in the South.
So we can inaugurate here the Shelby County test, where that's the gold standard of a place with demographics that has really enacted changes in its voter participation rates. And if we're going to find places around the United States that have similar demographics but have not achieved what Shelby County has, then maybe that's where we would focus our formula.
Yeah, that seems to make sense to me, because what the court is saying is that they know, for at least for certain, that Shelby County in their eyes meets this test. So if that's the case, it is true that coming up with a formula, at least you have to say maybe Shelby isn't the marker, because I don't know Shelby specifically. I don't know the place specifically, but they're saying it meets the test. So the question is, would Shelby be the test, or do we have they basically, what we need to have is some kind of rule to say this is the place, this is the bottom line standard. Maybe Shelby is that place that you use for the test. Maybe it's some other county. But that's I think getting beyond states and getting to that level and looking at the changes in those places, that's a huge step.
And demographically, the data is out there. If Congress wanted to take this up, there was lots of talk yesterday about Congress will never do this. It's too politically sensitive. In fact, from your perspective, this is doable.
Oh, the data is out there. Oh, no, the data is out there. Now, I would think that obviously, you know, along with these demographic tests, you're going to have the specifics about all these places and what exactly the rules are that people are trying to enforce upon people. But I do think that, you know, if you're talking about demographics, yeah, the data is all there. There's plenty of numbers to look at if Congress is interested in taking this seriously.
Dante Cheney is director of the American Communities Project. We spoke with him in Washington, D.C. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, John.